Good morning. We welcome you to our worship on this Labor Day weekend. We have several announcements, and so we'll get started with those. Anybody have any announcements, please come forward.
Morning.
Morning.
Please note in the bulletin, there's a little note about God's Work, Our Hands project for Menominee. The three congregations, Lutheran congregations, are getting together on September 17th to pack meals. And they basically look like this. We're going to be trying to put together 20,000 meals. We have money from Thrivent to cover most of it from our congregation. But we need some packers, and so there'll be three shifts on September 17th, noon, 1, and 2. And there's sign-up sheets in the narthex, and you'll see that, and so you can pick sometimes 1 hour is great, 2 hours is better, 3 hours is even better. If you've missed out on the experience of working an assembly line over your career, well, this is it. For those who sign up for the noon shift, I understand Herbert and Gerbert is going to be providing sandwiches. Is that correct? And if you are ill-clothed, we certainly have... Oh, come on. recognizing that Thrivent is helping, at least for our congregation, getting some money. So we have fancy T-shirts. And then we have, this doesn't fit me, God's Work, Our Hands. It's the ELCA project. Every year we try to do one of these. I wonder if there's something else that I've forgotten. Anyway, the sign-up sheets are out there, and you can call me or... some other members of outreach if you have some questions. Thank you.
Did you want to say something? Oh, okay. We will omit the psalm this morning. You can read it on your own, but we won't be reading it as a congregation. This Tuesday evening, we'll be starting with a Bible class on the small catechism, and we'll meet in the choir room. For those who'd like to join with us, it'll be a 7-week study. Thursday night, the choir will be meeting at 7 o'clock in the choir room. So any of you that would like to join with the choir, be here that night. Next Sunday, we will use a different order of worship, one that's familiar to us, but that we haven't used for a little while. And also next Sunday, we will begin the practice of having worship assistants again, helping with the worship service. The funeral for Corrine Wold will be this Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Here. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing, O Savior, precious Savior. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. Peace be with you. 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 We now continue with the Kyrie, and as we look at the words, it is quite a powerful prayer that we offer. First of all, we have received forgiveness of our sins through Jesus' death and resurrection. We affirm that. And then we share that peace with one another. And so then it's all of us together saying in peace that we pray to the Lord and for the peace that comes from above and for our salvation, that we're praying as one body to the Lord. And then we get so bold as to ask for the peace of the whole world. And what a mess our world is in, as it's always been in. And we are bold enough to ask God to bring peace in that world. And then we think also of the Church of God. And we think of all the Christians throughout the world today that are worshiping in various languages, various situations. We're praying for them as well. And for the unity of all, not just Christians, but of all people. And then we pray for this holy house. For us today, that's a very simple prayer. This building looks strong, sturdy, will stay here for a long time. And yet we think of fellow Christians in Houston or in places like India that have gone through the terrible floods. And what's their house of worship today? I'm sure for some of them it's just being outside, maybe under a tree that becomes their house of worship today. But we're praying with them today as well. And then we come back here again, all who offer here their worship and praise, that we pray to God. God knows the hearts of all of us here. He knows the upside of our life. He knows the downside. We pray for one another. And we pray that God would defend us. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. God, we thank you for your Son who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example, point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became joy to me, and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Do not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing? Why my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly you are like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will turn you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, and contribute to the needs of the saints, extending hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, and do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone for evil for evil, but take for what is noble in the sight of all. It is for yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I, the thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heal the burning coals on their heads. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Please rise.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and all those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of the Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated. We invite the children to come forward.
Come on up. Even my own kids aren't coming up. My own? Oh, no. Yeah. Hello, Zoe. Hello, Amelia. Is Amelia coming? There she is. Hello. How are you? Oh, man. All right. That's cool. I love having you all up here. Can you come sit right down here so everyone can see? You too, Sophie. Come sit right down. Please? Okay, maybe not. All right. So, how many of you started school this week? Did you start school? Did you have an orientation day, maybe? Orientation. Oh, another year, right? Another year? Where did you go to school?
Orientation.
What grade are you going to be in?
Kindergarten.
Sophie is in first grade. Ian is in fourth grade.
I am in Pearl.
You're in what?
Pearl.
In Pearl. Well, I don't know what she means by that, but okay. anyway, well, what do we do in school? What do we do? Now, if I asked Ryan right now what you did in school, he would say, I played outside and I had gym. But what other things do we do in school? Do we
learn?
We learn things, don't we, right? Do we all have teachers in school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus is our teacher too, even though he doesn't have a building, like we're thinking like a school. Where is his building? If we were to say, it's up in heaven, but if we needed to learn what Jesus wants to teach us, where do we go?
Heaven.
We go to heaven? Where else could we go? Where else can we learn what Jesus... To a church? To some kind of school? Maybe Sunday school or
catechism, some kind of thing like that. So that is kind of cool because guess what? School is starting, but so is Sunday school. At least here it is. Next week, we get to start learning all sorts of new things again about Jesus and what he wants us to do. Now, another thing that he told us in here this morning was that he wants us to give to other people. He wants us to give of ourselves. That's to serve, isn't it? Right? You serve others. Well, guess what? We get a chance to do that coming up, too. That's what Dick talked to us about this morning, the God's work, our hands. We have some really fun opportunities coming up pretty soon to do just what Jesus wants to do and Jesus told us to do in that sermon today, or in the gospel. How cool is that? Are you ready? Maybe. Amelia is maybe ready. Zoe is readier. You're ready? All right. Sounds good. Well, let's head back for today.
Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My favorite teacher in elementary school was Miss Marion Shedler. I really liked her. In fact, I guess I'd say I fell in love with her. And so I really, really studied that year to do the best that I could to learn everything that she had to say. And I figured that she really loved me too, and that she would wait long enough for me to get a little older and then we'd get married. But she did get married that next spring, but it wasn't to me, so. The text that we had for last Sunday in the gospel reading that we have for today, both talk about the relationship between a teacher and a student. And the teacher is Jesus, and the student is at first named Simon. And you remember last Sunday when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon responded, "You are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "You know, you've said that and you haven't thought it up on your own. Not that you're so wise, but that your heavenly Father has given you those words to say." And Jesus goes so far as to change Simon's name into Petrus or Peter or Rock. And today we have it again, that relationship as it continues. Jesus starts explaining to his disciples what it means for him to be the Messiah. And what it means is that to go to Jerusalem, that would have been fine with the disciples. But then while he's there, that he would be persecuted, that he would have great suffering, and that he would be killed. And that he would rise on the third day. Now for the disciples, they were listening up to a point, up to when Jesus said that he would die. And when Jesus said he would die, it's like they cut it off right there. And Peter says to Jesus, "Forbid it, Lord, that will never happen to you." And you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane where Peter was ready to back up his words, because he picked up his sword and he was ready to take on everybody by himself to protect Jesus. What he had said there, he meant, "Jesus, you should not have to suffer." But then Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, those aren't God's words. Those are human words. Worse than that, they are words that come from Satan. Satan the deceiver, Satan the one that tries to get us off track from serving God, from following Jesus." Does that ever happen in our life? Can we ever go from hearing these words from the Heavenly Father where we feel that we are so close to God? And then it could be just a few seconds later, through words that we speak or through something that we do, which is totally opposite of our Christian faith. The only thing is, at times we've convinced ourselves that what we're doing is still from our Heavenly Father, still as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, just like Peter felt. That it's God's will, Jesus, that you not suffer and die. And then Jesus explains to the disciples what it really means to be a follower is that, first of all, you deny yourself, then you take up your cross and follow me. First of all, to deny ourselves. Two people could be doing exactly the same thing. For one of them, it's through, first they have given their lives over to Jesus Christ. And what they're doing with a far different attitude. A story. Some people were building on a huge cathedral in France. C-H-A-R-T-R-E-S. However the French pronounce that, I don't know. And while they were building, somebody came in and asked first a man who was looking at a pile of stones. And then he picked one up and took it over to where he was going to put it, place it in the wall. And this person asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, it's my job to pick out the stones, place them in the wall where they will make the wall strong and beautiful. I am a stonemason." Then this man went and talked to somebody else who was looking over these big pieces of paper with lines drawn all over them. And he asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm the architect. And I'm here to look over the whole project and to make sure that everything is being constructed in the right way." And then he went and he saw a woman with a broom sweeping the dust. And he asked her, "Well, and what are you doing?" And the woman said, "I am building a cathedral to the glory of God." Now, she certainly, if we're going to line up jobs, which is the most important, hers wouldn't be the top of the list. And yet there is someone who, first of all, gave her life over to following Jesus Christ. And so that whatever she was going to do in life would be done to His glory. Deny ourselves and follow Jesus Christ. Let's imagine I had a flashlight and it's dark, totally dark. No stars out that night, cloudy. And I take this flashlight and I'm going to walk into an area that I've never walked before. And I take this flashlight and put it behind myself. Is it going to work? No. Because I have put myself first. And if I'm walking on my own, I've put myself before the light, because it is Jesus Christ who says, "I am the light of the world." And so what Jesus asks of us is to allow Him to be the one who is in front of us, the one to light the way. And that we follow as best we can in His footsteps. When you refer to lawyers, you say that lawyers are practicing law. When you refer to doctors, you say that they're practicing medicine. And in a very real sense, that's true, right? Because until they are done with their profession, it's always a practice. They're always going to come upon new situations that they haven't dealt with before. Some of them will be very easy to follow, to know the way to go, and other situations Maybe if you're a lawyer, the person asks you to do something that you know isn't quite right. What will you do as a Christian? And so you're practicing law. I mean, you're always learning how to put your faith into action. And so for us as Christians, we are practicing Christians. There will never be a time when any of us will have it all together. And so that's why we come here week after week to hopefully receive guidance from the Word of God and to put ourselves back behind that light and to let Jesus Christ light the way before us. And then Jesus says, you know, that we should deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. What is the cross that you bear? We've talked about this before. There's no book that says, this is cross-bearing stuff, and if you do this stuff, you're a cross-bearer. Because some of the things that we can do in doing them, doing the cross-bearing list stuff, actually, we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. You know, the Pharisee stands front and center, and he says to God, God, I thank you that you've made me such a good person. I thank you that you have given to me the life of following you in all things. And you remember where the tax collector went? Back, back, back. Back in the corner, right? And he says to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And who's the one that Jesus says went home justified? It wasn't the tax collector. He told everybody what a good person he was. Not the tax, the Pharisee, excuse me. Whereas the tax collector threw himself on God's mercy. Lord, be merciful to me. And then Jesus says, that we are to give ourselves to Him, that we are to live as He wants us to live, but that if we think that we need to get or that we're going to get everything in life for ourselves, watch out. What does it gain a person if they gain the whole world and lose their life? Which is the same translation of the Greek word soul, to lose their inner being, their inner guide, their inner compass. Leo Tolstoy wrote a short story. And in the short story he wrote and said that there was a man who knew a rich landowner. And the rich landowner made a deal with this one man that for a certain amount of money, whatever land he could walk around on a certain day from sunup to sundown would be his to keep. And so the man had a couple of days where he went around and he checked everything out as to what he figured he could make in a journey of one day. The day came and he took his shovel with him and he was supposed to somehow with that shovel, I don't know, scoop out some ground and make a little mound so everybody could know how far he had gone. And he took off, running as fast as he could. And he got to a certain place and he saw beyond, there was a valley there that he hadn't noticed before. Beautiful valley, a river, small river, creek running through it. And he says, you know, if I don't stop so often today, I think I can make it. And he took off down in that valley, crossed over the creek, got to the other side, came around back where he had hoped to be before and kept on going. And now there wasn't any time to slow down and he still found a few other places and he went beyond them because that looked really good. land. And then he saw the sun setting in the sky, and he started running faster and faster and faster. And he thought, I think I can make it. And sure enough, he did. Just as the sun set, he got to the place where the landowner was standing, and he fell down exhausted, and he died. And the landowner finally said, you know, what we can give to this man, what he needs, is just enough space to bury him. The man had thought that he would gather so much just for himself, for his life. And it cost him his life. It cost him his soul. What's our reason for our busyness in life? What's our reason for filling up all of our time with work, with play, with these little devices that you can punch on? I don't. We fill up our life to the fullest. But do we have time to set aside time with God's Word? Do we have time to set aside time in prayer each day? We'll be setting aside a couple of times this fall when we can gather around the Word as a body. On Tuesday nights for studying the small catechism. Starting on the 17th, we'll meet after worship, after fellowship, and we'll gather and we'll start a study on the book of Mark for a while. And on Wednesday morning, starting in October, is going to be a study of viewing videos of the Holy Land and discussing what we hear, what we see in those videos. Now, these are offerings for us as adults. We talk about the kids with Sunday school, and next Sunday, Rally Day starts up again, and they'll have their time set aside. But how about for us as the elderly ones? The ones who can bring to each of our studies our life's experiences and learn what it is to be a practicing Christian with our life. To that end, may it be the Holy Spirit that guide us and to help us to rethink what is important in our life and how important following Jesus is to us. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise and join in singing our next hymn. Last several weeks, we've gone through the small part of the small catechism, the Apostles' Creed, with the creed and then also the explanation to each part that Martin Luther wrote. This morning, we come to the conclusion of the Apostles' Creed with the third article that deals with the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean? I believe that I can, understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We receive the offering. Please rise. Merciful God, you open your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts and prayers are with the people in India and Houston as we hear of the many that have died in the floods. May those whose lives have been torn apart find healing in you. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, watch over the teachers, staff, and students as they pursue their formal education with our children, youth, college students. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, be with those who are ill, especially Maxine, Kathy, Lexan, Gordon, Carolyn, Lavera, Maxine, Ray, Levon, the Wallace family, and Sam. We also rejoice, Lord, with Adam and Chelsea on their marriage upcoming this Saturday. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, be with the families of Corinne and Ron who have lost their loved ones. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, we also pray for the members of the Balaka congregation in Malawi and their Abusa, Pastor Francis. May your Holy Spirit give them wisdom. Send your Holy Spirit also to be with our congregation and the members of the call committee so that a pastor may respond to your call to serve among us here at Christ Lutheran Church. Lord, in your mercy. For these and the many other burdens and joys in our hearts, we lay them all before you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord. Lord of power and might, heaven and earth shall will of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is prepared.
Thank you.
Please rise. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen. May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Peace, the Spirit sends us forth to serve.